Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to another episode of Wheel of Horror, the podcast where two best friends spin a wheel once a week. It chooses the horror film and they discuss it. Today we're talking about 1990's Gremlins 2, The New Batch, which was directed by Joe Dante. I'm your co-host, Alec.
I'm Eric.
Hey, there he is. Eric.
G2, baby. G2.
G2. That's what they call this. This is like G2 TNB, The New Batch.
That was in that Key and Peele sketch when he's like, this is G2, baby. Like,
dude, seriously, I sent you that sketch before we talked about anything. How amazing is that sketch?
You have to see Gremlins 2 to really laugh at it. There's no way you would be like, okay, this is stupid, but okay. But I just watched Gremlins 2, immediately clicked the link, and was laughing my ass off, Alec. That was so funny. That was so funny.
I haven't laughed that hard in a long time.
Yeah, no, it got me.
You have to have seen this film pretty recently to understand what they're doing. But, dude, when Jordan Peele walks in, he's like, are you telling me that the entire point of this gremlin is to look stupid as fuck in this movie? Absolutely, that is going in the movie.
No, he's like googly-eyed gremlin? Is that your gremlin? I love it. It is in the movie.
Yeah, so if anybody hasn't seen that sketch, my God, if you've seen this movie, you have to go watch that sketch. It's so perfect.
Googly-eyed gremlin? You mean a gremlin that's in a movie and its sole purpose is to be dumb as fuck? It is in the movie.
I mean, that character is so perfect. But anyways, that sketch aside, it's amazing. Go watch it. This is a fun little sequel. This is a fun little sequel, Eric, and this is your first time seeing it, right?
Bah, man, I definitely saw this when I was younger. I just don't. Nothing. It was blank slate for me, though.
You don't remember anything?
I, like, briefly remember, like, the stupid hat Phoebe Cates is wearing and, like, a couple other. I knew it was, like, business, corporate, but, man, I was like, oh, man, I don't remember it being this. I remember the Snow White scene where they're all watching Snow White, but that was about it. Yeah, so it was pretty much, like, watching it for the first time.
You didn't remember Hulk Hogan coming in?
The Hulkster? I did not remember that.
Wow. Yes, this pre-canceled Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
I
definitely saw this when I was a kid. Same thing. I haven't seen it in probably like 20 years, maybe even more. But the only thing I really remember was the electricity gremlin. I remember that very well from when I was a kid. I always liked that one a lot. And the spider gremlin, because I was scared of spiders.
I thought you'd like vegetable gremlin because you're a vegetarian.
No, I mean, I do like him. I think he's one of the cooler looking gremlins, the vegetarian gremlin.
No, bat gremlin.
Fat gremlin?
Bat gremlin, the one that turns into a gargoyle when it lands in concrete and flies up.
Bat gremlin, yes. I did like that. Yeah, and it smashes through the wall and it looks like the perfect bat symbol. Like, yeah, it's fun, we're having fun.
Can I ask you, if you could add a gremlin to this movie, what gremlin would you add? The G2 baby?
I'd probably have like a robot gremlin, like he's half
mecha gremlin, dude. That was one of mine. Holy shit.
Yeah. Look, I was gonna say like cyborg gremlin, like RoboCop gremlin or something.
Love it. I thought of a stoner gremlin, like a gremlin that's like really like, yeah, man. And like wearing a tie-dye shirt.
That'd
be cool. Trucker gremlin, like Larry the Cable Guy gremlin.
Oh, okay.
Like always spitting into a cup.
Yeah, what about like karate gremlin? We can get like a kung fu gremlin.
Dojo gremlin, like it.
Yeah, so I guess like we get, because the Mogwai when Gizmo before he actually, you know, the evil gremlins come or whatever, he's dressing up as Rambo, he's dressing up as Rocky, like he's doing even his own little stuff.
True. So he's like action movie gremlin kind of.
Yeah, and then all the other gremlins are just everything, you know, like literally everything. So do you know much about like how this movie got made? Like why there was such a gap between the first and second one?
I'd imagine that the first movie did very well and it started becoming a cultural icon thing, like Alf or Hulk Hogan. Like it became like an 80s thing. And it probably made a good amount of money with t-shirts and other stuff. And they're like, we're making a second one. And the director's like, not without me, probably. Or he forced into it, I'm sure.
I mean, kind of. Yeah, it was hugely successful. The first one was one of the biggest movies of 1984. Joe Dante, after that, they were like, hey, we want to make a second one. And he was like, we don't have any ideas. Like, it kind of ended. Like, do you remember the first one, how it ended? Like, the Mr. Wynn or whatever, he comes back and he's like, you guys aren't ready.
Yeah, he takes the gremlin back, and that's that.
Yeah, and he's like, you're not ready for this. So he takes the gremlins away, walks out, you know, into the small town or whatever, and you're like, that was a pretty solid movie.
And Gizmo's just like, bye-bye, and that's it. Howie Mandel.
And you're like, wow, and that's over. But then, yeah, Warner Brothers is like, we want money. So they asked him to do it. He kept turning them down. He kept doing all these other movies. Apparently, he had just like so many bombs after bomb after bomb. And finally, he made The Burbs with Tom Hanks in 1989. That was pretty successful. And then they're like, hey, you want to do Gremlins 2 now? Because like you haven't been really doing so hot the past few years. So he said, fine, I'll come back and do it. But I'll do it under one set of circumstances. I want complete creative control. Like anything I say goes. And the first one was so successful. Warner Brothers said they let him do it. And that's why this movie...
it's crazy.
Like, it's, this movie's, it's, yeah.
It's bad shit. Like, we're putting Looney Tunes in the beginning of the movie. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, Looney Tunes, beginning of the movie, and ending.
That was weird. I didn't really get that.
I think that's Joe Dante being, knowing at the end of the movie, I was like, just throw this in there. Apparently someone made this, so.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Why? Why was that in there? Because then it literally goes from that to just Gremlins 2. Like, hard.
I don't hate it. You know, I like Looney Tunes. I think it's funny.
No, but you see that in the title, you're just like, oh, buckle up. This is one of those sequels.
You're just like, what is happening right now?
I know. Well, you get a sense that he's like, all right, I'm going to make a movie that's really fun for a movie theater to be in. And you kind of see that with Hulk Hogan breaking the fourth wall and the gremlins watching a movie. It's like, it's for kids in a movie theater, like 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds. And it should be fun. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, I don't think anybody can watch this movie and say it's not fun. I mean, my God, it's just, it's all over the place. It's just wacky, turned up to 11. It's funny. It's way more funny than the first one. Like, the first one, actually, you're like, whoa, like people are dying in this movie. Like, this is pretty intense.
I mean, the first one's worlds better, dude. Come on. Like, worlds better. And it, when it comes to story and plot,
yeah,
it's way better. But yeah, this one's fun. Like you said, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's more like slapsticky, you know, but I will say there was one part in this movie that made me laugh so hard. And it's kind of when they're like pulling apart the rules of gremlins. They're like, so you're telling me you can't spill water on them? Like all these like yuppies are like laughing about it or whatever. And there's the one line where the guy's like, so what if they're on like an airplane? It's always midnight somewhere. And he turns and all of a sudden the gremlin busts out of the thing and slices his throat. And I was like, that's...
yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that's the thing about this movie. To me, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the gremlins are way more aggressive in this movie, right? It's more violent. It's kind of more violent. I mean, the part with the snowplow and that guy somehow survived and everything, but...
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Well, it's more slapstick violence. Like, the first one's, like, legit. Like, their gremlins getting put into the blender and getting, like, blended up and stuff and, like, bloody. This one's, I think this one's just goofier.
Yeah, I like the CEO throwing a gremlin into the paper shredder and then just being like totally calm, cool, and collective when Bill or Will shows up.
Yeah.
And he's like, God, that was wild. And it's like, okay.
Well, I mean, I think this entire movie is basically just, it's just like a parody of sequels. It's a parody of just culture at large at the time, like what was popular, this yuppie attitude from the 80s, you know.
Yeah, like high cocaine head CEOs and stuff. Like,
well, they're making fun of Trump, like that Clamp or something.
Clamp, yeah, it's kind of Trump. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, the book that he wrote is in the exact same font as Trump's Art of War or whatever. Like, it's exactly the same.
Okay, I really was, I'm just so sick of Trump that I just ignored anything, like subconsciously, this has nothing to do with our world.
Well, it's kind of interesting though. So the guy that plays Clamp or whatever his name. His name is John Glover in real life. And you being a huge Smallville fan, Eric, I mean, it's one of your favorite shows. You should recognize.
Stop it. That's not true. No, that's not true. I like Smallville. I like the first few seasons. It was a fun show in like the early 2000s. But let's move on.
Anyway, so he's Lex Luthor's dad in Smallville. So I recognized him. I was like, oh, why do I know that guy? But the thing that's interesting about him is the way that the character is written, he was supposed to be like this Trump, the Ted Turner, like just corporate kind of asshole. But the actor was so likable on set that they're like, fuck.
That's what I was going to say. Like, is he a bad CEO? It's like, no, he's just weird. I guess he owns a Big Brother Corp that is bad, but mm-hmm. he didn't seem like a bad guy.
Exactly.
It was weird.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't written like that. But the actor was, like, so likable. Everybody in set was like, dude, well, like, I love you.
Don't make him the bad guy. It's like, ah, well, like, we'll make the company the bad guy, but he's the good guy.
Well, they already have the Gremlins. I mean, they're the bad guys.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Like, Gremlins are the bad guy. Should be the bad guy.
So now you got this guy who's just kind of like, you know, on paper, on the script, he's the bad guy. But then you see him in the movie, and you're like, he's kind of, like, friendly and more, like, eccentric.
I get the idea that like he owns the company and is a CEO, but he doesn't really run the company. Like, I don't think he's the guy who would yell at you for having a potted plant at your desk. He seemed like way more open. Like, what is that? I love this. This is great. Like, like very like, oh, we should get together and meet and have coffee. It's like, oh, okay, relax, guy. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, I recognize like everybody in the cast in this movie, dude. I mean, did you see anybody? You're like, oh my god, that guy's in this or she's in this?
Someone I didn't know. I recognize everyone pretty much. Yeah, the CEO I didn't recognize as Lex Luthor's dad from Smallville, but the majority of other people, like Phoebe Cates, obviously.
Well, yeah, obviously her, but the guy that tells Bill or whatever, the main guy, he's like, hey, where'd you hear that song or whatever? And he's like, yeah, there's some people up on like the 30th floor or whatever. They're like, there was somebody whistling it.
Oh, the UPS guy?
That's, what's his name from Breaking Bad? That's from the first...
Tito?
No, it's...
Tito?
What the hell's his name? He's like... In the first season, he's like the crazy guy.
Tito, right? Isn't it Tito or something?
No, I got it right here. It's Tuco. Tuco Salamanca.
Oh, I was close. Tuco, that's it, not Tito. That's it. I knew it was him, yeah. But I'm sorry for getting the name wrong.
Tuco Salamanca. And then also, I don't know if you realized it, but Uncle Hank's in it.
When's Uncle Hank in it?
He's one of the SWAT team people that breaks in.
Right. Wow, that's so cool. Well, yeah. That's kind of cool that they're in the same show so many years later. That's neat.
Yeah, so I like that. And then also the redheaded smoking like woman that takes Billy out, his boss. Do you recognize her?
Yes, I'm thinking, is that... It reminds me from something from like a Batman movie or something. I couldn't put my... Can pinpoint it. Who is that?
She's like the hot girl from 16 Candles. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but
I don't remember that. She kind of reminded me of like Poison Ivy from one of the Batman movies. I don't know. Before Poison Ivy became Poison Ivy. I don't know. That was what I was picking up.
Also, the Japanese tourist, the guy who's like, he's like, do you take pictures? He's like, I am a camera. That guy. That guy's Long Duck Dong from 16 Candles. So I'm like,
Long Duck Dong. Yo, we got 80s all over the place.
Just dude, 80s. It's so. And then also Julia Sweeney. She's from It's Pat or whatever in SNL. She was the lab receptionist in the beginning. Dude, there's just like.
I'm just ready for it to be like, my dad was in this movie because he was from the 80s. Like...
No, and then Leonard Maltin, obviously the guy giving the report or the review of the movie. And then they kill him. It's like, yeah. Gremlins, which is like, that makes no sense. So he's in Gremlins 2 reviewing Gremlins 1. But so that means that Gremlins exists in this movie.
I don't know. That was just wild. But also, I mean, who can forget Christopher Lee in this movie?
Of course. Oh, my God.
What was he doing? He seems a little out of place. You know what? He's a horror icon, too. He's a lot of icons, like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. Horror is another thing. Like, he played Dracula, you know? So I think this is a cool way for him to get back into horror, but, like, staying with the youth. Kind of like a Vincent Price kind of way of, like, doing things. But, man, I liked him in this movie.
Oh, absolutely. He was amazing. Yeah. I mean, this is an all-star cast. I mean, if you like 80s movies, you're going to recognize almost everybody.
Everyone. Yeah. Even Howie Mandel. Like, come mm-hmm. on.
Yeah, Howie Mandel, he does the voice. You know, I was a little bummed, though, that the mom and dad weren't back from the first one.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I looked it up a little bit. So Not the mom.
The dad was sick or something, I guess. I don't know.
So the dad, I didn't know much about him, but he always reminded me of like a John Candy kind of guy, you know, from the first one.
Yeah, he looked kind of unhealthy, if that's where you're going at. I don't know.
Well, he didn't die. He died in 1996, but he was apparently a really bad cocaine addict for most of his life. And I don't know if that's why they didn't bring him back, but... Yeah, just kind of, I don't know, apparently, yeah, he died in, like, his early 60s. Like, he died very young. Yeah. He was, like, a folk singer or whatever, but, yeah, he had a really bad cocaine problem. He had a stroke, then he had heart attacks, and, I mean, he was overweight, too, and stuff, but I don't know. It's just weird that they didn't bring him and the wife back from the first one, but they bring back...
They mentioned them. It's like, oh, your mom sent a pie, someone sat on it on the train. So it's, yeah. Like, they're in the universe still.
Yeah, but like... Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Futtermans die in the first one?
Yeah, the whole plow drove into their home. And I guess, like, yeah, he could have survived if he got out of the way, but the gremlins were still there.
I don't know.
It's a reach, but it just works. It's probably just a quick way to handle it. Yeah. Handle it, Alec. You got vegetable gremlins, and I want these people back in the movie. They died last movie. It's like, well, I want a bat gremlin, too, so there.
That's what Joe Dante says. He like goes, he's like, all right, so I want those actors back. He's like, didn't they die? He's like, I said full creative control. Also, I want a vegetable gremlin. It's like, sure, fuck, okay. All right.
Like, I don't know how to do that. It's like, you don't know how to do that? Well, you're going to have to find a way to get Hulk Hogan in this movie.
He just keeps coming up with more things.
Like every time someone's like, come on, man. It's like, I want a dumb, dumb, dumb hat. Like, that's like a building for Phoebe Cates. It's like, oh my God. Like,
well, that's going to be hard for us. Oh, that's going to be hard to make? It will be even harder to get Christopher Lee in the movie. Yeah, that would be hard. It's like, so you're going to get him now, too. It's like, fucking hell.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it's true. It's true. This movie has pretty much everything.
Yeah. I thought of a good way to deal with Gizmo, like keeping Gizmo as a pet. Hamster ball, like a big hamster ball. I feel like, yes, it would need breathing holes, yeah. But it would obviously control the eating. And water would be a very minimal risk in a hamster ball. Sure, he can still get wet if he's in the hamster ball in the water, if the hamster ball falls in a bathtub. But I feel like that's a good way to avoid, you know, I just solved gremlins. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, listeners.
Gremlins does have a lot of plot holes, if you really do think about, like, what constitutes midnight? Like, what does that mean? Midnight in the time zone that it's in? You know, like, it doesn't really make sense.
Well, I guess it would have to be like, what are gremlins? Are they aliens? Did we ever go over this? I feel like we did.
I don't think, maybe we didn't. I haven't listened to our last episode because we did that like 2 years ago. But
yeah.
I mean, it's owned by a Chinese guy, Mr. Wing. So he owned him in the first one. He owns him in this one. He gets killed in this one. That's why Gizmo escapes.
Dude, I love how they like, he makes the news. It's like, we've been waiting for Mr. Wing to die. It's like, you're saying this in the news?
Yeah,
like specifically, we're waiting for the last elderly person to die, but then it's like Mr. Wing finally died, and it's like part of the newscast. I was like, "What the hell? This is crazy."
Finally, now we can start building this, and they build like a Chinese tower like over his house or whatever, because it wasn't called the Clump Chinese Tower or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we don't know if they're aliens or if they're like some
mythical creature from like ancient China.
Yeah, so we don't really know. They never really tell us that.
It is a cool idea to bring Chinatown into this and into the city, because that's where the dad got him from. So I was like, oh, I honestly don't hate the idea for the sequel of bringing it into the city.
Oh, no. It's great. And it's such like a contrast from the first one. The first one's like, this is what happens when these things come to small town America. This is what happens when they come to the city. Sorry. Well, no, there's also that scene where they're like on Wall Street or whatever, and they're like ruining the economy. They're like, we told everybody to put that money into shotguns and canned food. And it's just like, oh, my God, like they like actually could do real damage in New York City. Yeah. So I also like how they get smarter in this one, too. The gremlins are even smarter. So I'm wondering, it's like
we have Brainy Gremlin.
That guy, yeah, the Tony Randall or whatever, that guy, like, was that his name, Tony Randall? The guy that's like, we just want to be like you. We want to all be, like, civilized. And he was, like, smoking the...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that guy, I liked him. So it's like, I don't think any of the evil gremlins could talk in the first one. So now we're getting them talking. We're getting them doing, like, trading deals on Wall Street.
I mean, technically they could talk. Because you hear Gizmo like,
no. Rambo.
Mogwai.
Very... small words. No, I remember Mohawk saying things too, like bad things, like bang bang and stuff like that. I forgot what he would say, but like kind of like
bad things.
Boom. I don't know. It's like boom. Racially like blow up. No, that's Hulk Hogan. He's in that. Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right though. Yeah, but this is the first time we're getting like a full sentence, you know, and like interview and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
well, I just think that's so crazy that like, yeah, like a Mogwai can barely talk, like they're just like whoa, and then this one guy's like a full-blown like, we really appreciate your finer things, blah, blah,
blah. Well, because he gets like deep blue seed, he gets injected with like smarty cells or whatever.
Oh right, they're just like taking whatever drugs they find. That's
pretty
right.
Much, which is also very 80s like. Wow dude, I think this is like a whole like microcosm for 80s like business.
I think it is. I think that's literally the point of this movie, is them just like making fun of what was popular at the time. So like sequels being very popular in the 80s, that's a thing. The yuppie culture of just like excess and all this bullshit that Trump and Ted Turner were pushing in the 80s, like all that stuff is very cranked up to 11. I mean, nowadays, like frozen yogurt or whatever, that seems like such like whatever, like okay, frozen yogurt, but it was becoming very popular in the 80s, and this place has a 24-hour frozen yogurt place. Like that would seem insane in 1990. Yeah. Or whatever, but now we're like, okay, frozen yogurt's everywhere. I think they were just making fun of everything.
Where was this filmed? It felt like a mall, but you know where it was filmed?
I mean, definitely some of it was in New York City, like 100%.
Yeah, when they're in the street, definitely.
Yeah, so it was shot in New York City. No, it was all shot in New York.
Okay, I'm just curious. I'm curious where, like, there's that scene when they're, like, walking around and there's all these stores around them. I'm like, it feels like a mall. Like, I'm curious where that location is.
Yeah, I agree with you. It didn't, I mean, obviously the exterior shots did, but it says here, at least, Gremlins 2, The New Batch was shot in New York City in June 1989 and was released in 1990.
Okay.
The filmmaker, wow. The filmmakers noted that this was a time when cable TV, genetics, and frozen yogurt were all becoming popular in popular culture. Hence, they were all parodied in this film.
There you go. Yeah, that's part of it. I like it.
Yeah.
It did make me want to go to a mall, though. Like, we have a mall here in Orange, like the town over from me. And it is really nice, but it's so empty, and it makes me feel like I need some 80s music bumping in that bitch. And just walking around. It's just so everyone's just like coughing and just like, should we go into the Pacific Sun? No, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, malls are just... Yeah,
kids do go there still. That's a good drop-off point for your kids. But every time I look on the news, it's like huge fight breaks out in the mall. Can't drop your kids off there anymore. No, go play your video games. That's that.
I mean, yeah, that could happen anywhere. I was going to ask you, what'd you think of the Grandpa Munster character?
Oh, the Dracula guy, like an Elvira kind of guy. Yeah, like this. Yeah. I thought it was cool. It's cool, like this building has like all the TV shows, like the shitty TV shows. I liked it.
Yeah, I don't really know like what is this company? It's like they have like everything going on.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. Clamp. If you look at their logo or their statue outside, it's literally like a clamp of a forklift squishing the world. So it's like, it's kind of clamping the world is the idea, which is creative for sure. And it kind of goes well with the Trump P word. Yeah. So not bad.
I think that's it, man. I really do think they're spoofing Trump 100%. I'm also reading here to Hoyt Ashton, which was the father, the actor who played the father in the first one, was meant to return as Billy's father, the inventor. He would have appeared at the end of the film having designed a special clothing for Gizmo that would ensure Gizmo would never come into contact with water ever again.
I love that idea. Dude, that's like my hamster ball idea, and he's an inventor. The dad was a shitty inventor. That is a great... So he could keep Gizmo. I like that. like that
at the
lot.
Last moment, the filmmakers decided not to shoot the scene to reduce time. Why? Joe Dante, you should have made this movie 6.5 hours long. Warner Brothers came to you. They begged you to make the movie. You should have made it.
How long was this movie?
It's an hour and like 40. It's not long.
Yeah. I blinked, blacked out, and came back, and then it was over. This movie was crazy.
It's not that long.
Well, you know, this movie also reminds me of like when you're sick at home and you're just flipping through the TV and it's just like you're sick, and then where you pass out for 30 minutes and you wake up to like screaming and still know the entire plot of the movie.
I mean, like, I don't know.
You didn't miss anything. You're just,
I liked
you're just,
it.
You're sick in bed and you're like, oh, what's going on? Oh, gizmos? Yeah, okay.
Really? Oh, I was enjoying it.
I like it. No, but it's like one of those movies that like 3 a.m. you're just like, jackpot. Look what's on.
Well, I love that line in this movie. It's just like people that are watching movies at 3 a.m. They're not the kind of people that are going to get scared of monster movies. Yeah. They're scared of getting sober and finding jobs.
Well, that was a nice little nod to Christopher Lee, too, because he, not that line, but like Christopher Lee was old style movies. And he talks about like how the black and white films, no one wants to watch those. And I also liked when he had the hand puppet. He's like, I was going to be an actor and now I'm here with this. And it looked like a terrible hand puppet. Like, it looked like it was falling apart.
I remember that from the beginning with the dinosaur thing. But that line that was like, yeah, kids don't want to watch things in black and white anymore. Joe Dante, I saw him in an interview and he was like, yeah, he's like, you know, they say that kids don't want to watch black and white movies anymore. So to that, I say, fuck them. If they don't want to watch it, then fuck them. Like sort of thing.
Like Tarantino style. He's going nuts.
Dude, have you ever seen Joe Dante in an interview?
No.
Dude. He's pretty funny. He's very outspoken, doesn't seem to give a shit about what anybody thinks about him. I know Joe Testa loves him.
Yeah. I'm curious if you saw the Key and Peele sketch. I'm sure he has. I'm sure he has 1,000 times.
Yeah. But I also wanted to let you know, Joe Dante, we've covered a few of his movies. Obviously, the first Gremlins, Piranha, that was his first movie. But also, I don't know if you realized, he did Small Soldiers. You've seen that movie, right?
Yes. No, we talked about that on the first Gremlins podcast. Love Small Soldiers. Great soundtrack. Great movie.
And he says the line, he's like, ha, it's like, don't say your password. He's like, my password's Gizmo. And he says that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. So I never made the connection that, yeah, Joe Dante directed Gremlins and Small Soldiers, and then they make a Gizmo reference in Small Soldiers.
I gotta watch Small. I know we talked about this, like, is Small Soldiers a horror movie? Can we add it to the podcast? It's like, sure.
Yes.
We're just doing every movie. We're just doing every movie.
Nah, we're doing Small Soldiers. We're doing it one day. It's got a great soundtrack. Great. I mean, dude, Tommy Lee Jones. Come on.
Yeah. Throw it in there.
But also, the other quick thing is, guess what else he directed, which is comes back to this movie, Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Well, there you go. He's a Looney Tunes guy. All right,
he's a big Looney Tunes fan.
Why the hell that was even in there in the first place? I will say this. One scene I do not like is the mousetrap scene, how they do a mousetrap, put it in the sandwich, where, first of all, the trap would be set off if you put something on it. Second thing is the trap would be blocked by the top of the sandwich. And listen, Alec, I've set 200 traps in my life, 300. That bothered me. That doesn't work. Mouse traps don't work like that. But everything else in this film was great.
That bothered you?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I was like really, really like, oh, so she's going to bite into a mouse trap and it's just nothing would happen.
It's supposed to be a cartoon. It's a live action cartoon, Eric. That's what this movie is.
Yeah, that scene bothered me.
Okay. Well, before we wrap up here, apparently they are planning a sequel. You heard about this?
G3, baby.
Now, apparently it's going to be a CGI animated show on HBO Max. Who knows?
All right, you've lost me for a minute, but... What would you want to see a G3 be?
I just want to see more of this. I want to see Joe Dante come back. I want to see Phoebe Cates. I want to see Zach Galligan. And I want to see no CGI. I want to see all puppets still. I don't want to see any CGI.
Well, they're animatronics. There's a mix of animatronics too, but still live things, not CGI.
Nothing computer. I want animatronics. I want puppets. I don't want any. That's what will ruin this movie, is if it's all CGI and it's just them doing things
cartoon.
That are...
I don't want to see a cartoon Gremlins. Like, that's not...
No, I mean, that's what makes it interesting, is because it's not a cartoon. But they're doing things that make it seem like it's a cartoon.
I want to see Phoebe Cates in an elevator wearing the dumbest looking hat ever, contemplating her decisions in her career. And like, I'm looking at her being like, yeah, I can tell she doesn't want to be in this movie right now.
But... well, she's retired from acting. So I know. If she comes back for that, she's like, I really don't want to be here.
Oh, you're going to have to put a couple more zeros on that check if you want me to get my ass out of my chair right now. That's what she's going to say.
Yeah. Last thing really quick before we wrap up here. Dude, I thought it was hilarious how they made fun of the story that she tells in the first one.
They made fun. I didn't catch that. When they make fun of that.
What?
That's one of the best scenes ever. What happened? Dude, what happened? What did I miss?
In this movie, Phoebe Cates, she pulls over. She's like, yeah, it reminds me of this one time on Lincoln's birthday when my dad, and like starts telling the story. And then Billy comes over. He's like, hey, babe, we don't have time.
Yeah. I do remember that now. I did not connect that to, but that Santa Claus story in the first one is like the biggest like deflating derailment of any movie ever. Like, you're in this movie, you're having fun, and all of a sudden she's like, hey, I don't want to like make things sad, but let me walk you through this like 5-minute story about how my dad dressed as Santa got stuck in the, like, I'll say spare you, but it's insane.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, they spoofed it in this movie, and I thought that was so awesome that a movie made fun of itself.
Yeah, and there's, oh man, what's that, Redful Things? I don't know if anyone follows this. He makes these, this artist makes these action figures out of the most random stuff ever. I actually bought one, and one of, it's Jaws, it's the dog. Like, oh, yeah. You know that scene with the stick? I just bought stick, and it's hilarious. It's beautiful, it's amazing artwork, and it's such a hilarious figure thing. Like, he does like Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru from Star Wars, but all like burnt up to a crisp, like pieces of Alderaan and just like rocks and like a thing. But he did like her dad, Phoebe Cates' dad, and it's like this like ashy Santa Claus figure. It's like, oh my god. I'll send that to you right after this. That's so funny.
I mean, so I thought that was really funny. And then I don't know, just it makes sense this movie tanked, you know, the budget, which is crazy. There's no real budget. It says 30 to 50 million, which is like...
Jeez Louise, what kind of check was that at the end?
I don't know, but it made 41 million in total.
It probably broke so close to even. Maybe lost 5 million, maybe made 5 million.
Yeah, but it just goes to show you that there's a time and a place to make a sequel, and if you don't kind of like jump on it when it's popular... All the young kids that liked this movie are too old to like it. And then, you know, it's not like nowadays where Gremlins 1 was so accessible from 1984 to 1990 that kids are always getting the VHS. And so, I mean, they're renting it, but it's not like today.
Yeah.
Harder to wait 6 years to make a sequel, you know?
Hey, we got, I mean, Alec, I know you're excited for the new Transformer trailer that just dropped with the Beast Wars. And I mean, it's growing with the kids.
I didn't even see that.
I'm sorry. I'm just joking. I know you like those movies.
I saw the first one. I think I saw the second one too.
First one's good. Everything else was like garbage. But anyway, we're derailing. But anyway, let's spin the wheel. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right. Spinning. Uh-oh. Ooh. 28 weeks later. We talked about this.
Sweet. Yeah, so we're doing 28 weeks. On the wheel, it says 28 days, but unfortunately, we can't find it anywhere. So yeah, we're going to go 28 weeks later. So perfect. We will see you all next week then with 28 weeks later.